like us. Some Sefer Chassidus are very hard and very cryptic. The Slonim Rebbe, his Sefer Nesivas Shalom, is written in a way that's meant to be understood, which is nice. It's nice to know what you're learning when you learn. And he has a piece here titled Pesach Chag HaEmunah. And again, we're not going to see necessarily any major chidushim in this piece, but sometimes it's not about just learning, you know, something new to awaken your mind. Sometimes it's about thinking about ideas and deepening ideas and practicing living with those ideas. I had such an amazing conversation with someone yesterday about Inyane Amuna. And we were talking about what it means to really live with Amuna. Talking about someone who unfortunately passed away very recently, who is a real Ish Amuna. And we were talking about, you know, how much do we talk about Amuna and how much do we really practice and live with Amuna. Okay, so Chavis, let's learn this piece, Pesach Chag Amuna. It's the fourth mimer of the Nesivas Shalom, the Slonim Rebbe, in his writings on Pesach. And he begins with the words, Chag HaPesach Yisodo Amuna. Let's start off nice and simple, friends. Chag HaPesach Yisodo Amuna. The essence of the Yom Tov of Pesach is Amuna. Absolute faith, belief in Hashem. V'leil HaSeder Leil Giloy Shechina Hu V'chinas Rosh Hashanah LeAmuna. I love that term. He says, we know we have a Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei. But the truth is, the real Rosh Hashanah, the starting point of the calendar year, is really Nisan, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, the Shabbos. Right, we're entering into the world of Rosh Chodesh, we're entering into Parshas HaChodesh, we're getting back to really the roots of Klal Yisrael. And what's the root of a Jew? The root of a Jew is Amunah. And therefore the Leil HaSeder, which is a night of Giloy Shechina, where Hashem reveals Himself to us in a very clear way, it's an expression of Rosh Hashanah LaAmuna. We can call it, in a certain sense, the Seder night is the Rosh Hashanah for Amuna. That's what we're doing. That's the whole goal of the Seder. Everything we do at the Seder, from the matzah to the mar to the four cups of wine, in a sense, you could say the whole essence of Pesach is Cheirus, but really the essence of Pesach is Amuna. It's the Yom Tov, it's the Rosh Hashanah for Amuna. V'hu k'maymer chazal, b'schus ha'emuna nig'alu avoseinu b'mitzrayim. Again, amazing Maimer Chazal. What got us out of Mitzrayim? If I asked you, in one sentence, tell me, how did the Jews get out of Mitzrayim? It was Amunah. Chazal say, in the merit of Amunah, we were redeemed from Mitzrayim. And in the merit of Amunah, we will continue in the future to be redeemed. Because getting out of a Meitzar, whenever you're feeling trapped, whenever you're feeling like you're living within limitations, so Amunah is the thing that lifts you above limitations. Because when you tap into the infinite Bore Olam, you tap into an infinite creator, so then you're not trapped anymore. You're not living in a Meitzar. Meitzar means a boundary, right? We call the 3 weeks the Bein HaMeitzarim, feeling trapped. So Amunah is the thing that allows a person to free himself from whatever gullus, whatever he's trapped in. Klipas Mitzrayim HaYisukfira. Now look how the Rebbe makes his point. He says, we don't think about it. What was Mitzrayim? What did Paro represent? Right? Paro Melech Mitzrayim. What does he represent? So if you think about it, it's not just the suffering of the Jewish people enslaving the Bnei Yisrael. In many ways, Paro, some of his most memorable statements are outright rejections of Hashem. It's a denial of a creator. Or a denial of our understanding of a creator. Klipas Mitzrayim, the klipa, the negativity, the husk of Mitzrayim is kfira, is denying Hashem. Kamayim or Paro lo yadati as Hashem. Paro says it as clear as can be. I never heard of this Hashem. I don't know about this Hashem. V'chol amahalech shal yitzias Mitzrayim v'aseras hamakos hevi legiloi behiras ha'amuna betokva. So therefore, if I were to ask you, what is Dam about? What is Sfardeya about? What is Kinim about? What is everything we experience on the way out of Mitzrayim about? It's all to clarify and to strengthen. Tokef means to strengthen, to give strength, to come to clear and to strong Emunah. So clear that the Pasuk even says, V'yodu Mitzrayim kani Hashem, that even the Egyptians will come to recognize. It'll go from Paro's denial of Hashem, lo yadati as Hashem, to the point that the Torah can say, again predicted and then actualized in Perek Yudalet, I believe, V'yodu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem, that the Egyptians will come to know that there's a Borei Olam. The Hainush and Izgala Ha'amuna Begodal Habihiras, Acha Afilu Mitzrayim Yaduki Ani Hashem. That even the Egyptians will not be able to deny what they saw. Now we live with a lot of Hester Panim. We live in a time of Hester Pana. We don't get to see Hashem the way the Egyptians were even zochet to see Hashem. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself in that moment in a way that was responding to our Amunah. So in other words, the Amunah of Klal Yisrael comes before the miracles, right? Again, go back to the Maamar Chazal. B'schus HaAmunah Nig'alu, u'b'schus HaAmunah Asidun Lihigael. We got out of Mitzrayim in the merit of Amunah. We'll get out of this Galus and bring Mashiach in the merit of Amunah. In Mitzrayim, we saw unbelievable open miracles. The Gemara says when Mashiach comes, we'll see even more open miracles, even more wondrous miracles. But Chava, the first step is to have Amunah. Right? It's not once Hashem does the miracles, then you say, ah, now I believe in Hashem, now I see Hashem. No, the goal is to believe when it's hard to believe in Hashem. When you're not able to see Hashem clearly in your life. And then eventually you come to what? You come to an Amunah that's rooted in a Yediyah, in an understanding, in seeing it, of knowing it, of factually experiencing it. So that's how Geula works. That's how Geula works. Ukamo kein kol koach ha-Geula haya al yedei ha-Amunah. So too, again, the entire experience of Geula was actualized by Emunah. Redemption comes about through faith. We know, very famously, the Jews were on the 49th level of Tumah. Had we fallen to the 50th level of impurity, there would have been no hope. What is the Shar Hanun? What is that 50th level? Vishar Hanun Hu Kiadua Amuna Shabizelo Naflu. Level 50, to say it both in the positive and the negative, is Amuna and it's Kfira. It's Amuna in the sense that I continue to believe even when things are really shaky, really rocky. Right? And it's Kfira in the sense that, God forbid, when I let go of that and I fall to level 50, I've fallen into a place of Kfira and Apikorsis. That's what level 50 represents. And it says that Klal Yisrael didn't fall to level 50. In other words, despite the fact that they were not the finest of Jews on many levels, but they held on. And that pasuk we find early on in Shmos. We find it in Shmos Perek Dalid. The pasuk says, Vaya'amein ha'am. And the people had emunah, they believed. Despite the kotzer ruach and the avodah kasha and all the frustrations that they had and all the, you know, all of Moshe's questioning whether or not they're going to be willing to listen and believe and to try. But at that, so of course, Klal Yisrael had emunah. So therefore, on the top, the first of the holidays in the calendar year, Rishon, Hulachem L'chotchei Hashana, it starts with the Yom Tov of Pesach. You know why? Because Amunah is the foundation of everything. Pesach is the Yom Tov of Amunah. She'amunah hi harosh v'harishon l'chol hayadus. Chaver, if you have Amunah, you can handle anything. If you don't have Amunah, you can't handle anything. Again, I was talking to someone yesterday who was very saddened over the loss of a person who just passed away. His fellow passed away. He was mamish, an unbelievable isha muna, and he was makabel the yisurim ba'ava, mamish ba'ava, knowing that he was dying, and he was makabel it ba'ava, and said, if this is what Hashem wants, he has a master plan. And this person I was speaking to was so nispal from that. How does a person say that? When you know you're dying, to be able to have a muna and to say, Hashem knows what he's doing, and to do it b'simcha, and to say that, and to mean it, to be makabel such suffering, and such confusion, such Hester Panim, and to be able to just be makabel et ba'ava. It's unbelievable that a person could do such a thing. However, today is the yard site of Rav Gad Eisner. Rav Gad Eisner was an amazing tzaddik, a survivor of the Holocaust, a ger chassid. He never had children of his own. He's not blessed with children, but he was a big mashkiach in the ger yeshiva in Tel Aviv after the war. Rav Gad Eisner, amazing stories about his survival in the during the war. So there's a volume of his Torah called Mesilas Gad. Different teachings from him. Amazing, arranged alphabetically. I have it right here. It's arranged alphabetically, different topics. He has a beautiful section on Amunah. Just again, on his yard site, I'll just quote the opening line he has here. He says, Amunah chazaka yoser miyadiyah. Faith is stronger than knowledge. You know why? Because yadiyah, an understanding of something, efshar lahafrich b'kushya. You can ask a question on something that you understand. But you can't ask a knockout question on Amunah. Right? You can't knock out Amunah with a kasha. Person could choose to abandon their Amunah. But Amunah is something that can't be questioned because it's not logical. It transcends a certain yediyah. It transcends logic. But in the Hagdama, in the Pesach Devar, in the introduction to the Sefer, just to give you a sense of what it means to live with Amunah, Rav Gadol Eisner, it says here that one of his Talmidim, who was a Talmud of his before the destruction of, you know, Polish Jewry, he said he met up with him in Buchenwald, in the concentration camp. And he says to Rav Gadol Eisner, literally with the fires of Jewish lives burning, mamish in the background, the crematoria, the gas chambers, lo aleinu v'lo aleichem, mamish, the Nazis yamach shemam, literally burning Jews over his shoulder. And one of his Talmidim said to him, Rebbe, ma omid lefaneinu achshav, ma tomar b'matzav zeh. Nu, Rebbe, what do you say now? What do you say now? You know, you always taught us to live with Amunah. What do you say now? How do you live with Amunah now? When Ramam is hanging on by a thread, he's here in Buchenwald. So he said, so listen to this. Ready? This story. So Rav Gadol Eisner, he reaches into his, I don't know how he had it. Somehow he struggled with them, you know, the same way, I don't know, Rav Weinberger's father had his tefillin with him throughout the war. I have no idea. So Rav Gadol Eisner had, he reached into his clothing, you know, into his garments, to the little garments that they were wearing, and he pulls out a piece of paper. I don't know, he had it tucked into his garments. I don't know where he was smuggling it. He was hiding it in his, I don't know, his shoe and his underwear. I don't know where he was hiding it. Under his arm. He reaches in and he pulls out a page, a torn page, a page of the Chovas HaLevavos. In the section, the Shar Ha'ava, at the end of the first parak. And he reads to his Talmud, in Buchenwald, with fires burning behind them. He reads this line to him from the page of Chovas HaLevavos that he had been smuggling with him throughout the war. Kemo Shenemar, this is from the Chovas HaLevavos. One of the early works of Jewish philosophy. Kemo shenemar al echad min achasidim shayakom b'layla v'omer. The Chovas HaLevavos in the Shar Ha'ava, in the Gate of Love, says that it's written about, it's known about one of the chasidim. Right? Chassid, obviously, in the Chovas HaLevavos language doesn't mean, you know, chasidim Baal Shem Tov, but a pious Jew. It was known about a certain pious Jew. Shayakom v'layla v'omer. He used to get up in the middle of the night and he would say, Elokai, my God. Hiravtani, you have starved me. Ve'eirum azavtani, and you've left me naked. I don't have proper clothing. I don't have proper food. U'mechashchei halayla hoishavtani, and you've sat me in the darkness of night. And you've abandoned me. And yet, listen to this line from Chovas HaLevavos. Ready? Im tisrafeni ba'eish lo'osif kiim avos chavisimchabach. If you burn me in fire, I would only continue to love you more and to continue to rejoice in you. Can you imagine? A poor chassid used to get up in the middle of the night and say, God, I'm starving. I'm cold. I don't have proper clothing. I'm sitting in a dark little hovel of a home. And yet, God, even if you were to burn me in fire, I would continue to love you and continue to rejoice with you. Unbelievable. That's Amunah. Chaver, that's Amunah. Rav Gadol Eisner survived the war with his awesome Amunah. And he writes here such beautiful things about Amunah. Amunah chazaka yoyser meiria. Right? Amunah is even greater than seeing. Right? Because a mamon doesn't need to see anything. He doesn't need to understand anything. He writes here how people think that we need to have Amunah because of Hester Panim. He says it the other way around. You know why Hashem conceals himself? Because Hashem wants us to practice our Amunah. Why does Hashem put us in the dark? Because Hashem wants us to practice our Amunah. So says the Nesiv HaShalom, the Shoresh, the foundation of being a Jew, the first moed of the Jewish calendar year is the Yontov of Pesach, because Amunah is the Rosh V'Rishon L'chol Hayahadus. Chevra, let's go to Har Sinai for a second. What did we hear from Hashem at Har Sinai? What did we hear directly from Hashem? How did Hashem begin? Hashem began his drasha with Amunah. The truth is, most of the mitzvos, the Gemara says, we heard from Moshe Rabbeinu. We only heard the first two. We only heard the first two from Hashem. We heard Anochi, Hashem Elokecha, from Hashem. And we heard, Lo Yia Lecha Elohim Acherim, from Hashem. Right? Sometimes we refer to those first two mitzvot as Anochi v'lo Yia. Right? We heard Anochi and Lo Yia from Hashem. Okay? So I'll tell you a gematria that I had 3 years ago. A nice gematria. What's the gematria of Pesach? Let's do a little gematria. A little remez. You'll try to remember. You'll share it with your family on Pesach. Or you'll share it with yourself right now. What's the gematria of the word Pesach? Pesach v'chag ha'amunah. What's the gematria of Pesach? You? Guys don't want to help me today? 148. Okay, how much is Anochi? Oops, that's not how you spell Anochi. How do I undo it? Ah, good. How much is Anochi?
81.
Anochi v'lo yia. Right? The two mitzvahs we heard, the 611 we heard from Moshe Rabbeinu, but the first two, Anochi v'Aliyah, we heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself at Har Sinai. It's Gemara in Makos. So Anochi is 81. V'lo is 37. And Yehiyah is 30. Right? So Pesach is Gematria, Anochi v'Aliyah. In other words, when Hashem says to us at Har Sinai, right, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, v'lo Yehiyah lecha Elohim acherim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was introducing us to himself, right? Believing in Hashem and rejecting Avodah Zarah. And that's the essence of what the Yom Tov of Pesach is about. It's about believing in Hashem, and as we'll see, rejecting Avodah Zarah. That's why we had to slaughter the Avodah Zarah of the Egyptians. We had to take the Karban Pesach. So Amun is the foundation of everything. Of everything. And therefore it says in the Zohar HaKadosh, the Zohar tells us in the introduction, that Pekuda Kadma'a, what does Pekuda mean? Pekuda means the mitzvah. Pekuda Kadma'a, the first mitzvah, the root of all mitzvah. L'me'yal gohem nusa. Is to what? Is to enter into the experience of hemnusa. Hemnusa means emuna, of faith. Right? Matzah is referred to in the Zohar as the mechla de mehemnusa, the food of emuna. When a person eats matzah, he eats emuna. He's ingesting emuna. He's absorbing emuna in his body. It's a food of emuna. V'nichla b'mayim ratzadikim. And this is what the tzadikim explain. Hachodesh hazeh lachem. Rosh Chodashim, Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chad She Hashana. Chodesh Nisan is not just a starting point in terms of a calendar. Shechodesh Nisan V'Chag HaPesach Hu Rosh V'Rishon L'Chol Zmani HaSchad She Hashana. It's the starting point of everything, the renewal of a Jewish experience in the calendar here. Ki HaSchad She Shechag HaPesach, because the renewal of Pesach is in Yanei Amunah, and Amunah is the Rishon, is the starting point of the Jewish experience. And therefore, through pure Amunah and clear Amunah, a person is able to get out of Mitzrayim and to be a Jew. That's how it all begins. When you leave Mitzrayim, you come to Har Sinai and you hear Anochi v'lo yiyah lecha. You hear Hashem speak to you at Har Sinai. V'heyos v'inyin chag ha-pesach hu Amunah. Al kein ikur mitzvahs leil ha-pesach hu mitzvah sipur yetzias Mitzrayim. So chevre, if Amunah is the name of the game, so then the essence, the main mitzvah of the night, the mitzvah that we're going to do more than any other mitzvah on this night. Yes, we'll drink a lot of wine. Yes, we'll eat a lot of matzah. Yes, we'll consume maror. Yes, we'll dip in charosas. But more than anything, the mitzvah of the night is mitzvahs sipur yitzias Mitzrayim. Is to tell the story. To pass on what we saw in Mitzrayim, what we experienced in Mitzrayim. How we clung to Hashem when we had all of our questions in Mitzrayim. And that's defined by the Torah in the phrase v'higadita levincha. To give it over. To pass it on to the next generation. She'inyano hashrashas ha'emuna, to make sure that the children understand and continue to believe. V'zeu inyan kol amar b'lesaper b'yitzias Mitzrayim harezeh meshubach. And therefore we know that Chazal tell us the more you tell the story, the better, because that means it's more real to you. It's more alive to you. Or as we learned the other week, saper is also a lashon of what? Of to illuminate. The more you illuminate the story, harezeh meshubach, the better. The more you make it clear how much you believe, that Amunah, as crazy as it is not crazy at all. As Rav Avram, Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tursky, Rav Avram Yeshua Tursky, who just passed away recently, once said to someone who was asking him about his belief in God. He said such a deep thing. My mother showed this to me the other day. She was reading an article. Rabbi Tursky said, someone said to me, I'd ask him all sorts of questions about God. So he said to him, Ben Sion, he said, believing in Hashem is absolutely absurd. To believe in God is totally crazy. But to not believe in God is also totally crazy. You're crazy to have Amunah and you're crazy not to have Amunah. That's what Amunah is. So yes, we spend the whole night talking about it and talking about it more and talking about it more and talking about it more. Until a person's supposed to fall asleep, you know, literally at the Seder, telling the story as much as you can. Kol amar b'lesaper, the more you share it, harezeh meshubach. And it doesn't matter if you're a big chacham, v'afilu kulanu chachamim, mitzvah leinu l'saper b'yisiyas Mitzrayim. I always like to explain this line, that even if you're a chacham, the mitzvah is what? L'saper, make it story-like. To make it story-like. It's not just about, you know, fancy divrei Torah. It's about trying to close your eyes and to feel yourself leaving Mitzrayim, to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, you know, hand on your shoulder. Sholo matzino inyan kaze b'shar mitzvahs. We don't have that by any other mitzvah. We don't have such a notion. Asher eich shemekhaimin yatsa kvar yidei chavasan ve'ein shem inyan laharbos ben. We don't say, the more you shake the lulav, the better. We don't say, the more you sit in the sukkah, the better. That may be true. That may be true. Chassidei Yerushalayim used to walk around with their lulav and esrog all day, the Gemara tells us. And the more time you spend in the sukkah, it is a holy thing. But we don't have a Maimar Chazal that says, the more you do, the better. It's by Pesach, Dafka, by Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the more you tell the story, the better. But if we really believe that the Yom Tov of Pesach is the Yom Tov of Amuna, again, he uses that phrase. It's a beautiful phrase. If you believe that the Leil HaSeder, where we take that world of Mitzrayim, and we turn it into what? We turn it into Gilui Shechina. We reveal Hashem, and it becomes the Rosh Hashanah Le'amuna. Sets the tone for the whole year. Sets the tone for our whole life. Hashem Imenu Hashpas Hamuna Belev Yehudi L'chol Hashanah. It's from the night of the Seder that we draw Amuna into the entire year. U'mibihiras Ha'amuna Shalayla Hazeh Zochem L'chayos Chai Amuna Kol Hashanah. And to the degree that you have this clarity on the Seder night, you're able to take it with you, mamish, the entire year. Therefore, we're commanded to tell the story. That's what the Sipur does. The more you tell the story and the more real you make it, it inspires the heart for the entire year to have clear and illuminated Amunah. Like the Saba Kedisha Milechevich explained on the Pasuk that you know well from Hallel, He'emanti ki adaber. He'emanti ki adaber, the Saba Kedisha, the Alter Rebbe from Lechovich, said, He'emanti ki adaber. He'emanti ki adaber. I believe ki adaber, because I speak about it. And the more I speak about it, the more I'll believe it. Dal yedei shechozer me'amuna bepeh, nishresh as he believe. The more you talk about Hashem, the more real Hashem will be to you. V'im zen ne'amar al kol yimos Hashana. And if that's true, the more I talk in Yanei Amuna all the time, the more I learn how to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more I talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more my Amuna will be real, Hashem will be real in my life. I say thank you Hashem, because Hashem is real. So then kal v'chomer all the more so. On the night of the Seder, the more you talk about it, the more powerful one's Amuna is going to be. This Shabbos I gave a drasha in Shul. And I was talking about, you know, this Shabbos, Kisisa, was the Shabbos, I don't know, probably for some of you it's the same thing. It was the Shabbos that we closed our Shul a year ago. It was that first Shabbos where we shut down the shul, which was such a crazy thing at the time. And I spoke about, you know, here we are a year later. A lot has changed. Some things have changed. Some things are still changing. But I wanted to speak to people about, you know, the things that don't change in our life. So I mentioned this past Shabbos, there was a chashuv, a Breslover chassid and Rebbe named Rav Eliel Chaim Rosen. Eliel Chaim Rosen was a little boy in the Lumji Yeshiva. He was a kid in the Lumji Yeshiva. And he came across a little tikkun klali from Rabbi Nachman. And he was very turned on by Rabbi Nachman. He ended up going to Uman. He ended up being like the head of the Jewish community in Uman, along with Rav Levi Yitzchak Bender. And then eventually in the 1930s, came to Eretz Yisrael. He built the Breslov Yeshiva in the Old City. He was Rosh Yeshiva for decades. Passed away in the 1980s. Eliel Chaim Rosen. So here's what he used to say. Listen to this. Jared, you ready for this? Listen to what Eliel Chaim Rosen used to say. He used to say, everyone talks about the sveikos of life. And people say, you know, it's very hard to live my life because I become very mibulbal from all of the sveikos of life, all the uncertainties of life. And it's real, right? The anxieties of life, the uncertainties of life. All the things that I'm not sure about in life. But Eliel Chaim Rosen used to say, ach ma'im havados. But what about the vadais of life? Why do we spend so much time talking about the sveikos of life? Why do we get so mubulbal from all the uncertainties of life, all the doubts of life, the things I don't know the answers to? Why don't we lean into the vaday of life sometimes? What are some of the vadays of life? That there's a borei olam, that there's a creator to the world, that Hashem exists, that Hashem gave us the Torah, that Mashiach is going to happen. How it's going to happen, I don't know. That's a suffix, but it's going to happen as a vaday. That there's something called Olam Haba. These should be the vadais of our life. So exactly how I'm going to get there and when I'm going to get there and, you know, what ups and downs we're going to have to take to get there, I don't know. But why do we get so stuck on the suffix? Achmaim avados. What's with the vadai? So I mentioned on Shabbos an experience that Rav Shimon Schwab had at the home of the Chavetz Chaim in the year 1930. Chaver, when did the Chavetz Chaim pass away? Anyone know? When did the Holy Chafetz Chaim pass away? 1933. Rabbi Shimon Schwab, when he was a young man, spent Shabbos, this week's parasha, Vayakol Pekudei, in the year 1930, at the home of the Chafetz Chaim. Can you imagine? Imagine going to the Chafetz, imagine you're a young guy in yeshiva like yourselves. Imagine going to the Chafetz Chaim's house for Shabbos. Okay? So Rabbi Shimon Schwab spent Shabbos at the home of the Chafetz Chaim, Vayakol Pekudei, in the year 1930. And they had a lot of interesting conversations that Shabbos. The Chafetz Chaim kept asking Rav Schwab all sorts of interesting questions. Rav Schwab, basically every time he asked him a question, he was too nervous to answer. So Rav Schwab, in his Sefer on Chumash, throughout his Sefer on Chumash, he sprinkles some of these conversations from the Chafetz Chaim. In his Sefer Ma'ayan Beis HaShoeva. So in Parshas Achrei Mos, he says that the Chafetz Chaim at one point on Shabbos asked me the following question. He said, Shimon, he said, where are you going to be in 5 years from now? 5 years from now, I don't know. Where are you going to be in 5 years from now? I'm not sure. So he says, Shimon, let me ask you. When you daven and you say the phrase, V'chaye olam nata b'sochenu, what kavana do you have? V'chaye olam, eternal life nata b'sochenu has been implanted within us. What kavana do you have when you say that? He said, I don't know. So he said, let me tell you. He said, where are you going to be in 5 years from now? I'll tell you where you're going to be in 5 years from now. You know where you're going to be in 5 years from now? You're going to be with Hashem. And you know where you're going to be in 50 years from now? You're going to be with Hashem. And you know where you're going to be 500 years from now? Where are you going to be in 500? I don't know what I'm doing this afternoon. Where am I going to be 500 years from now? I have no idea. You're going to be with Hashem. Where are you going to be 5,000 years from now? With Hashem. And the Chafetz Chaim said to Rav Schwab, he said, B'zeh Lashon, where are you going to be in 5 million years from now? 5 million, do we even talk about 5 million years? The Chafetz Chaim said, you're going to be with Hashem. That's what it means. Chaye olam nata b'sochenu. Eternal life, chaye olam, eternal connection. Nata b'sochenu. There's a lot of things in life that are changing, but if you have emuna, there's one thing that doesn't change, and that's what? Ani Hashem lo shanisi, like the Navi says. I am Hashem and I don't change. When you cling to Hashem, when you have a clarity in emuna, so then you have stability in your life. Nothing changes. You're with Hashem now, you're with Hashem in 5 years, you're with Hashem in... I don't know where I'm going to be living in 5 years from now. I don't know what I'm going to be doing in 5 years from now. Who knows if we're even going to be alive in 5 years from now? Halavai, we should live long, healthy lives. No one knows anything. I don't know what I'm doing in 5 minutes from now. But however, the one thing, says the Chafetz Chaim, Chaya Olam Atzav Tzolchenu, the constancy of life is in relation to one's connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's do a little bit more in the Nesiv HaShalom. Val pize yevuar gam inyan kol hamar belisaper b'yitzias mitzayim hareza meshubach. So again, now we understand a little bit more why the more you tell the story of yitzias mitzayim, the better it is. Why more and more and more and more? Isn't there a point where like I've done enough? I've said the story enough? No. Dihine emuna hi ad ein sof. Emuna is endless. Dekamosh hakadosh baruch hu ein sof, kach emunaso ein sof. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like God Himself is what? Is infinite. So to belief in Hashem is endless, is infinite. V'yesh har v'madregos b'behiras ha'amuna gavoa me'al gavoa, b'lisof gvul v'shiur. And therefore, when it comes to amuna, there are an infinite number of levels of amuna. It's not your in or your out. However, no two people in our shir have the same level of amuna. If I were to ask you, do you believe in Hashem? I hope, I'm fairly confident, and I hope that everyone would say, yes, anima amin, I believe in Hashem. But if we were to analyze the degree of amuna that each of us have, it's different. We have different degrees of amuna. We have different degrees of amuna based on our life's experiences, right? Based on our challenges, based on how deeply we've studied the sugya of amuna, how much we talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Someone asked me yesterday, again, I was talking to this fellow who was reflecting on this other person who had just passed away from cancer. So I had cancer 6 years ago, about 6 years ago now. I don't know, I lost track, Baruch Hashem. I had lymphoma. And so this guy was asking me, he said, how did you, how did it affect your emunah? How did it impact your emunah? So I said, Baruch Hashem, B'yayin Hara, I had a good prognosis from the beginning. We were very hopeful. Yeah, did I stop believing in Hashem because I was in a difficult situation? No. Was I scared for my life? At points, obviously, yes. Right. But I said to him, when you were going for chemo, he's like, what was that like for your amuna? So I know Hashem put this great vart in my head. So I said, Kimo v'kiblu. I said, like the Jews in, you know, on Pesach, Kimo v'kiblu. I got Kimo and I was makabel it. I don't know. But Baruch Hashem, like I wasn't so sick at any point. I was able to be makabel it. Yeah.
We're leaving now.
Okay, bye. Have a great day. You know? But I don't know. I Baruch Hashem, I'm on the fortunate side of that equation. What about the person who doesn't? What about the person who, like I told you, this guy who just gave his life, gave his neshama back to Hashem with Amunah? I don't know that I'm on that madriga to do it. There's different madrigas when it comes to Amunah. Right? Is Hashem real to you in a very theoretical sense, or is Hashem real to you in a very real sense? So the tzaddikim explain, the more Amunah a person has, the more of a tzaddik the person is. That's how you measure a person. Listen to this line. Rabbi Hoseinu HaKadoshim Amru, if you say, how do you determine who's a bigger tzaddik? That which one tzaddik is greater than his contemporary, than another tzaddik, who lefi sha'amuna yoser bihira atzla. Wow. Because his amuna is more clear. If your amuna is more real, if your amuna is more clear, then you're a bigger tzaddik. What does that mean? What do the tzaddikim mean when they say this? The Kavaras HaDvarim explains in Nesiva Shalom, Shebihiras ha'amuna hi arein sof. Because clarifying one's amuna, again, chaver, is an infinite process. V'chol kama sha'amuna yoser bihira ha'reza madrega acharas l'gamri. The more amuna a person has, a person reaches a totally different level. It's mamish, a different level of existence. And when you live with amuna, life is sweet. And when you live without amuna, life is bitter. I'll tell you two vartlach from my brother, Rav Davidol. Some of you know Rav Davidol. I'll tell you two teachings from Rav Davidol. Two Pesach teachings from Rav Davidol. I share them every year. One is, we know Pesach, Matzah, Umar, right? That's what it says in the Haggadah. We talk about Pesach, Matzah, Umar. So my brother likes to say, Pesach, Matzah, Mar. What is Pesach? If you skip over Matzah is the food of Amunah. So Pesach, Matzah, if you skip over Matzah, if you skip over Amunah, you think, I'm just going to do other, you know, I'm going to like focus on other aspects of, yeah, I believe in Hashem, and like I'm going on to, I don't need to like work on Amunah. Siva Shalom is telling us, Amunah is an infinite job. Working on your Amunah is an infinite process. Pesach Matzah, if you skip over Amunah, Mar, your life's going to be Mar. If you don't work on your Amunah, it's going to be Mar. Because there's going to be challenges in life, and if you don't have a strong Amunah, when everything's good, so yeah, ani mamin, b'Amunah Shlema. But when life gets hard, as it invariably does for everyone at some point, so if you don't have Amunah, your life's going to be Mar, because you're not going to have what to lean on. You're not going to have what to rely on. The other thing my brother likes to say is the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. What's the halacha if a person ate matzah in a state of temporary insanity? The halacha talks about a shote, right? There's a halachic category called a shote, a person who's not mentally stable. What happens if a person eats matzah in a state of temporary insanity, and then all of a sudden, you know, they like kind of snap out of it, right? So the halacha is that they have to eat matzah again. You have to eat matzah again. If you ate matzah as a shote, a shota is sort of a category in halacha that is exempt from mitzvos. So if you ate matzah like a crazy person, like a person who's not mentally stable, lo aleinu, so a person would need to eat matzah again in a state of yediyah, in a state of mental stability. So my brother says, what is matzah? Matzah is the food of amunah. When you deepen your amunah, how do you look at yourself before you had deeper amunah? Right? Meaning, when you had a certain doubt about a Kaddish Baruch Hu, now you, let's say you resolve that doubt. You worked on your Amunah, now it's clear to you. So you look back at yourself, right, 2 years ago, when your faith in Hashem was shaky, and you say, well, I was crazy then. I was a crazy person then. I didn't believe in Hashem. What was wrong with me? I was out of my mind. How did I not believe in Hashem? So my brother likes to say, every time you eat matzah is the food of Amunah. So that means when you eat matzah, your Amunah automatically goes up. So how do you look at yourself before? How do you look at yourself an hour ago after I ate that kazayas matzah? An hour ago, I had less amunah. So it was ke'ilu, I was a crazy person. As if I was a shote. So my brother said, there's an inyan on the last day of Pesach, right, especially, to keep eating another kazayas matzah, another kazayas matzah, another kazayas matzah. Why do you do that? Because with every kazayas matzah that you eat, you look back at yourself from 10 minutes before and you say, wow, I didn't even know Hashem. I thought 10 minutes ago I knew Hashem. Now that I ate more amunah, now I really know Hashem. So now I feel like, now I have a chiyuv to eat matzah again. So I eat matzah again. But now my amunah goes up again. So then I look at myself and say, wow, I didn't know Hashem 10 minutes ago. And a person spends the closing moments, the final moments of Pesach, you know, eating those last kezesim of matzah, trying to ingest a little bit more amunah, and trying to, again, to realize that there's always more to understand. And the more a person deepens their amunah, they realize, I didn't understand anything before. Kilu, I was a shota. I thought I knew what Hashem was about, but I didn't understand the sugya at all. So it says in the Siva Shalom, the tzidkus of a person is directly connected to what? To their amunah and Hashem. The more amunah you have, the bigger a tzaddik you are. And therefore, mishum kach, miyuchedes mitzvah zo shal sipur yetzias mitzrayim yishar kol ha-mitzvos. And therefore, the mitzvah of telling the story of yetzias mitzrayim is unique. Because it's a mitzvah of amunah, there are no limits to it. You do as much as you can. Kol ha-marba l'saper ha-reza meshubach. The more you do it, the better. What happens when Klal Yisrael cross through the Yam Suf? Explains the Neshiva Shalom. It says by the Yam Suf, V'ya'aminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo. Let me ask you a question. That's called Amunah? You just spent a year seeing open miracles. You just crossed through a sea of water that split in half. And now you have Amunah. That's not Amunah. You saw. Oh, with your eyes. What do you mean Amunah? D'lechora achrei shekvar ra'u b'eineyem. Right? And they pointed, Zek Keli va'anveyu, and everyone saw, a simple handmaid saw like the visions of Yecheskel HaNavi. Why is that called Emunah, vayaminu? After they saw things ayin ba'ayin, that's called Emunah? You ever think about that question? It's called Emunah, it's not called Emunah. It's called seeing. Right? See, the phrase, seeing is believing. No, Emunah is Emunah. Believing is belief. Seeing is Yediyah, they knew it. They saw it with their eyes. But Shalom, Elafi Sha'amuna hi lamaila mikol hasaga. You have to understand that Amuna is greater than any understanding that you have. Uva oche bechina sasaga yeshla gvul vesof. Vachol darga shalda magia ele aidecha kira vasaga yeshla gvul rakafi shemesuga lahasig. Achamuna ein lasof. Understanding, perceiving, seeing has limitations. Moshe Rabbeinu, this past week's parsha. I want to see you, Hashem. You can't really see me. You can see a little bit. On the way out of Mitzrayim, we saw maybe a lot of it. But it's still limited. But after everything you've seen, there's still Emunah is infinite. Emunah, like Hashem himself, ain la sof, has no limits. It's endless. Dibamakum sha'asaga mistayemes. Because in the place where what? Where your understanding concludes, sham mascheles ha'amunah. That's exactly where your Emunah begins. And therefore, after everything that they saw on the way out of Mitzrayim, after all the awesome miracles that they saw on the way out of Mitzrayim, they still what? Vayaminu ba'Hashem uv Moshe avdo. They doubled down on their amunah. Because you don't finish, you don't graduate. It's not a box you check, I believe or I don't believe. It's a process of deepening one's amunah. Okay, chaver, the final idea for today. V'isa meha Arizal. The holy Ari HaKadosh explains to us that Golus Mitzrayim, listen to this, it's a very deep sugya, but the Nesiva Shalom Kedarka B'Kodesh gives us access to it, he gives us a sneak peek. He explains to us that what? In the name of the Arizal, that Mitzrayim in many ways was a tikkun, listen, for Dor HaMabul, Dor HaFlaga, and Dor Enosh. Is a fixing of three of the most rebellious generations in the early part of existence. The Dor HaMabul, the Dor HaFlaga, they tried to wage war against Hashem. Dor Enosh is the root of Avodah Zarah. Va'atikun le'Dor HaMabul. So let's see, how does each one work? Where do we see a fixing of the Dor HaMabul? Haynu al yidei kol haben hayilod hayo'ore tashlichuhu. When the Jewish babies are being thrown into the water at the command of Paro, in many ways, right? In many ways, that's something to do with Dor HaMabul, being thrown, being drowned in water. Hatikun ledor haflaga, and again, there's a lot to say on each of these, but we're just bekitzur nimrats, we're just getting a taste of it. The dor haflaga is what al yedei vayavidu osam mitzrayim bechomer uvavenim. Just like they were building a tower to wage war against Hashem, so too the Jews of Mitzrayim were forced to build for Paro. Vadayin sarachaya letakin aspagam avodizar shel dor enosh. But after what? After being thrown in the water, that's dor hamabul. After building for Paro, that's dor haflaga. But then there's Dor Enosh. The Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah explains what happened in the time period of Enosh when people first started to worship the sun and the moon and the stars. So how do we fix the Avodah Zarah of the Dor Enosh? Lakach Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Pasuk says, Shmos Perek Yud Beis, Mishchu Ukechu Lachem Tzon. Mishchu Ukechu Lachem. What does that mean? Mishchu, Mishicha, to draw? To draw and take? What is mishchu kechu, draw and take? What does that mean? The Medrash explains, Mishchu yedecha me'avodah zarah. Draw your hands back from avodah zarah, and then you can start taking a carbon to Hashem. Shezeh hayatikun shel pgam avodah zarah shel dor enosh. We had to slaughter the avodah zarah, the Egyptian gods, which apparently in some way Klal Yisrael had been connected to, right? Mishchu yedechem. Take away your, draw back your hands. Get your hands out of the avodah zarah of Mitzrayim. That's why when they're standing at the Yam Suf, the angels of Shemayim are still screaming, Halalu Avodah Zarah, Halalu Avodah Zarah. These Jews were idol worshippers. But no, Hashem says, no, they're moving away from that now. Mishchu yedecha me'avodah zarah. They're done with that. They're pulling back their hands. That's what the Arizal tells us. These three stages of Geulas Mitzrayim correspond to these three generations of history. Bal pi dvarav yesh lomar od b'inyin kol amar v'lesaper v'yitzias Mitzrayim arizim eshubach. But now we understand a little bit more. If part of Yetzias Mitzrayim is what? Is freeing ourselves from the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. So then the more that I tell this story, HaReizim Eshubach, Sha'ashrashas Ha'amuna Al Yedei Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hiyatikon Lepagam Avodah Zarah. Part of fixing, part of getting out of Mitzrayim is fixing Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is the antithesis of Amunah. So you'll say, I don't worship Avodah Zarah. But Avodah Zarah could be a very sensitive point in one's heart. Avodah Zarah could just be wrongful ways of thinking. As the Maharal explains, Shechag HaPesach Hu HaChag Shal Eschazkos HaAmuna Va'al Kein Sidru Lanu Chacham B'Layla Zes Kol Seder HaAvodah Azos. Chazal set up for us this whole magnificent, glorious night that all of it, everything we do, is Romeis to Amuna. Hainu Shekol Inyanei Le'al HaSeder Asuyim L'Chizuk HaAmuna is to strengthen our Amuna. That's what the whole Seder is about. Every step that we take at the Seder is to strengthen our Amunah for the entire year and to get ourselves freed from that Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. Aval pi hamavuar shakol inyan sipri yasiyas Mitzrayim hi ashrashas Amunah. So now, last but not least, we can understand the opening words of the Haggadah. How do we begin Magid? Let's just understand how Magid begins. If telling the story is about telling Amunah, so let's just understand. Halach ma'anya. What do we start with? Halach ma'anya. This is the bread of our affliction. Diachalu avasana ba'arad de Mitzrayim. Anyone who's hungry, come and eat. Anyone who wants, come and join us. The Sivas Shalom has a whole bunch of questions. What do you mean? This is the bread that we ate in Mitzrayim. This is the bread that we ate on the way out of Mitzrayim. And why are we inviting people to our homes after we're already home from Shul? And why is this the Hakdama? Why is this the introduction to the whole Seder? Right? What's this Lashana Haba ba'arad de Yisrael? Why at the beginning? At the end of the Seder, we say Lashah, Nahaba, right? We understand that's the end of the Seder. At the beginning of the Seder, already longing next year in Jerusalem, next year in Eretz Yisrael. Achein al piya amor, the Indian Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, hu ashrashas amuna pshuta. If Yetzias Mitzrayim is what? Is deepening amuna pshuta. That's what we're trying to give our children. I'll tell you one more remez quickly, just since he said the word amuna pshuta. Nu, what's the gematria of amuna pshuta? What's the gematria of Amunah Pshuta?
Amunah's 102, right?
Okay, Amunah's 102. All right. Amunah's 102. Pshuta? 380? 90? 400? Yeah?
Yeah.
So 502. Amunah Pshuta is 502. Yeah, Amunah Pshuta is 502. So it's interesting. 502. We just finished one round of 502 on Purim, right? Why? Because Baruch Mordechai is 502 and Aruch Haman is 502. We're supposed to get to a point of Adelo Yada between Baruch Mordechai, which is exactly Gematria 502, and Aruch Haman, which is 502. What we're really doing when we throw away our minds on Purim to the point that we can't tell between one 502 and another 502 is that we're throwing away our Yediya to reach a level of Amunah Pshuta. But at the Seder, we're continuing that. V'higadeta Levincha. Right? What exactly are we giving? What exactly are we trying to give over to our children at the Seder? We got it to Levincha. What are we giving over? We're giving over Amunah Pshuta. That's what we're trying to give over to our children. What's the gematria of we got it to Levincha? I don't remember. Is it 502? Does that make sense? How much is we got it to Levincha? Am I way off? Am I making this up? I really don't remember. I think it's 502, but let's check. 400 and how much? 11, 418? Is that right? Am I off?
Yeah.
And how much is this? 102. Well, Levincha is 102. Levincha is Gematria Amunah. So that's what you're giving your children. All right. Vigarata Levincha. Levincha is Gematria Amunah. There's another 502 by Pesach. I'm not remembering it now. I'm not sure. But Vigarata Levincha. What exactly are you telling Levincha? All right. Levincha is Gematria Amunah. You're giving your kids Amunah. That's what we're trying to do at the Seder. We're trying to give over that Amunah Pshuta. Okay, so when we say Halach Ma'anya, have our last couple of lines for today, says in Yeshiva Shalom, why are we starting with Halach Ma'anya? What are we saying? What exactly are we beginning with? We're saying Lach Ma'anya, right? We're saying like what? We're an Ani. The Gemara says an Ani is a person who's an Ani Bedas. An Ani Bedas means a person who's just not knowledgeable, or maybe a person who's Ad Lo Yada. Maybe it's a person who what? It's a person who's not, he's not a Chacham. He's holding by lechem oni. The Gemara says when a person eats lechem, when a baby starts to eat lechem is the same age, a baby starts to eat bread at the same age where a baby starts to understand. A child begins to speak. When the child is no longer nursing from its mother's milk and starts to eat real food, right? That's when a child begins to speak. Deya and Dibor are connected. He starts to understand. Lach ba'anya means what? Lach ba'anya means amuna pshuta. Lechem oni. Diachalo avasana b'mitzrayim. That in Mitzrayim, the Jews, they didn't understand what was really happening. But they had a Emunah Pshuta that Hashem was going to take them out. Like we said, the Pasuk says what? Vaya'amein ha'am. The people believed. And even after they crossed the Yam Suf and they saw open miracles, still they doubled down on their Emunah. Ve'aminu ba'Hashem uva'moshe avdo. So we start the Seder by turning to Jews, wherever you are in the world, and we say, listen, Chevra, kol dichvin yese ve'echo. If you're hungry, come and eat. Hungry for what? Hungry for lechem oni? Yeah. If your amunah is hurting, so come sit at the Seder. Come join the Seder, and you'll work on your amunah, and you'll leave a different person. And therefore we say, Hashata hacha. Right now we're here in Gullis. Ha'amunah hi makor chiyuseinu. Here when we're in Gullis, nu, we're hanging on to our amunah. V'gam l'shona haba, and even when we get to Eretz Yisrael. Even when Mashiach comes, guess what, chevra? We're still going to need amunah. After all the open miracles. Just like after the Jews crossed the Yam Suf, they still had Emunah. After all the miracles we're going to see when Mashiach arrives, you still have to have Emunah. You still have to work on Emunah. And therefore the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said, Achrei kol ha-madregos. You'll never forget this line. The holy Baal Shem Tov said, after all the madregos, after working through so many levels, Baal Shem Tov, we picture such a high level. He says, after all of my madregos, ani chozer le'emunah pshuta. I throw away all of my lofty levels, and I lean into my Emunah Pshuta. I start the Seder saying, I'm an Ani, and I'm happy that it's fine. And I'm looking to my friends who are also Aniyim, who have Emunah Pshuta. And I say, come join the Seder. Come join the Seder. Come have Emunah Pshuta. Come sit with me and have Emunah Pshuta. That's all you need. That's all you need to come to the Seder. Okay, so Chevra, again, did the Nesiva Shalom teach us anything we don't know? Not really. But the whole point is that no matter how much you know, you have to know it more. You have to work. It's a sugya. Emunah is a sugya that a person has to keep working on. And to make my emunah more wholesome and more simple and more vaday. Again, where am I going to be, says the Chafetz Chaim, in 5 million years from now? With Hashem. No suffix in the world. Where am I going to be in 5 minutes from now? With Hashem. Where am I right now? With Hashem. Where am I going to be in 5,000 years? With Hashem. That's all I need to know. Okay, so we should be zoichet to be makabel, the Rosh Hashanah le'emunah b'simcha. Yeah. Okay, Ashi, let's hear.
Is there any chance you can please just take a picture of the Rav Godel Eisner story that you shared?
The Rav Godel Eisner story? Sure. I'm happy to send it. Okay, yeah, sure.
What it looks like.
Yeah, the Seder's called, it's a two-volume set. Mesilas Gad is the Torah's, and then there's
this
a second.
Is the same guy as Moresh's Gad? It's the same one?
It's the same, I mean, it's the same Rav Godel Eisner. The Moresh's Gad, they put out volumes on Chumash. They started putting out volumes on Chumash.
And that's in various synonyms?
Yeah, this one is alphabetical. Goes, you know, by topic. First, Ava, Ava Satora, Amuna. Yeah.
Thank you.
V'hemin ba'Hashem v'yachshavei lo tzedakah. He believed in Hashem and he considered it tzedakah. He quotes our Rebbe, the Avodas Yisrael, that Avram considered it a tzedakah, that Hashem gave him the ability to believe in him. You have to ask Hashem, help me to have Amuna in you. It's a funny thing. You think Amuna is something I do for Hashem. You have to dive into Hashem. Hashem, I need your help to have Amuna in you.